Dominic Ebony is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios, TD is with us for the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport, ESPN. TD, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
I mean, I almost feel like I was thinking about this because I was out last week, and then, you know, there's next week and the week after, but the week after, TD will be on the field at training camp, and we'll be seeing a lot of each other. So, TD, I want to start with this. And I will say this is not the first time that we have discussed somebody's social media on a boat picture on this show. Did you see the Treylon Burks Instagram reel that he deleted on the 4th of July?
Yeah, the one where he was eating the chips on the boat.
He was eating the chips on the boat. So, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I honestly, Caroline, I thought you were probably a little bit more worked up about it than I was.
What, about the chips?
Yeah.
What did I even say?
The tone deafness.
Well, it was tone deaf. People have been talking about how you're overweight for months, and then you post a picture of you eating Doritos. I'm not worked up about it. I just think, you know, read the room, brother.
My bigger issue was the body. And I'm not here to body shame like they apparently, Caroline, learned that they do in Boston. But
yes, I did learn that.
TD, I got to be honest with you. Like, this kind of felt like a, you know, it's kind of felt like an A.J. Brown, like, post it, delete it, you know what? But I can't say I'm not worried after seeing that with Burks. What did you think when you saw it? What are your thoughts on Burks' body and the shape that he should be in or will be in come training camp?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually had the same thoughts as Caroline as far as just the tone deafness. I think optically it's not exactly a good look. But at the same time, remember, you know, a lot of these guys, they don't care what the outside world thinks. And I think that's something to take into account. But at the same time, this is something that's being said about you. So naturally, you should want to fight everything that's being said. There was actually a story today that he had up where he was standing on the boat and you could kind of see his full torso. I'll say this, I'm 46 years old and my body is very similar to that. Now, take that for what you want, but as a rookie coming into the league, especially at the receiver position, you kind of expect a different appearance. But
oh my God,
appearance isn't always everything. You know, this is just one of those things where as a Titan fan, the Titans fans have to hope that he's just a football player and not a bodybuilder, you know, because that's kind of what we're seeing. If you go back to the Arkansas film, he could play football. You take it to this level and you see this picture, it's clear that, you know, he isn't exactly a weight room freak, so to speak.
I just pulled it up. You pulled it up too, didn't you?
Yeah, I just giggled.
TD. I mean, and I'm not saying, let me say this.
He's not out of shape.
Let me say this. I'd give everything. I'd pay $10,000 to look like Treylon Burks, me, personally. I'm not a first-round pick in the NFL. But, I mean, TD, I'm with you in the agreement that, like, he did ball out at Arkansas, and they said that he got as big as 240 at Arkansas, and there's some dudes, like Escalade from the And One mixtape. He used to ball out no matter how big he got, which, by the way, he went to Louisville. But and I'm not that saying that Treylon Burks is Escalade. But
yeah, that 30 for 30, by the way, just side note on the best mixtape ever. That was awesome. I don't know if you got to see it, but great feature by ESPN.
Caroline might be too young to remember Escalade from the And One Street Ball.
I don't even know any of the words that you just said.
Well, can you make an assumption about Escalade's body type?
Big with it.
I mean, but
big with it.
Hey, Escalade could ball.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest with you. This is getting me worried because the one thing they kept saying at the end of camp or the end of mini camp was they got 5 weeks and, you know, he'll be ready in the 5 weeks. And that doesn't mean that he'll be out of shape, but it's definitely more in my mind, TD, that at some point they've got it. I mean, at some point, I just want something positive about Treylon Burks, TD.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point. You do want something positive. about him. I will say this. I've seen guys, like you take Marshall Faulk, for instance. If you were to see Marshall Faulk, even when he was playing out of uniform, you'd say, hey, there's no way this dude is one of the best in the league. Now, this is, you know, a unique circumstance, but there are guys who just, I mean, you look at Jarrell Casey. Like, you wouldn't think that he was the beast that he was if you see him off the field. So, I mean, you don't always have those guys with the super physique that are able to play football. Sometimes the guys, you know, just are natural ball players, and that's really what there is to it. And I guess that may be the situation with Burks, but make no mistake about it, he absolutely has to hit the ground running come training camp. And I think there were stories that he showed before this boat video where he was at the facility, right, in the locker room and different things. So it's very clear that he stayed after and he worked with some of the guys. Now, this incident, July 4th, I mean, it's a holiday weekend. Guys do what they do. But I just don't think it was wise of him to post that.
What do we think? Because I think we could all agree that if Burks, let's say Burks was out of shape at Arkansas, and when I say out of shape, I mean out of shape by football standards, not out of shape by, you know, regular people standards. But if he was out of shape at Arkansas and he was as good as he was in the SEC, where he was the star player on his team, and no disrespect to KJ Jefferson because he was a good college quarterback, but he's not Ryan Tannehill throwing the football, and he was that good at Arkansas, is it something that the Titans can live with, TD? The Arkansas Burks, if that is the body type that he ends up being, can they live with that in the NFL, or will it be disappointing? Because as we would probably all assume, if he could play like that at Arkansas like that, imagine what he could do in shape.
Yeah, it's a catch-22. Because I say this, turn on the Alabama tape and you watch that game, and it's like he's clearly Treylon Burks against the world in that game. And he took on all of Alabama and he held his own. So it's pretty clear that he is able to excel at football. Now, I will say this, you're always going to have that degree of, man, I wonder how much better he could be, to your point, if we just got him in the weight room and his body was in a better appearance. You're always going to wonder that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I still think they're going to get production.
This is what Chris Sanders said yesterday on the program. And by the way, he has been texting me some off-the-wall stuff on Treylon Burks right now. But this is what Chris Sanders said yesterday when I asked him about how long until you get nervous about the Burks situation. Here's what Chris said.
If he comes into camp and they do the drills and he's sitting over there riding a bike, then now you got to push the panic button. Because here's the deal, Jared. He's behind the eight ball, you know, when he came into OTAs and when he came into mandatory meetings. He needs reps. He needs to understand the speed of the game. He needs to understand how to be in communion with Ryan Tannehill and also work with those other receivers. So if you come in, you know, out of shape and have to ride the bike and not going through drills and not being in sync with your quarterback, then now you're not going to be in sync until, you know, the sixth or seventh game of the year. Because, listen, you know, everybody, including myself, expects him to come in and play. Because when you're the number one pick for the Tennessee Titans in the draft and they let the number one wide receiver go, then, you know, if you're not doing the right things to come in, then that's when it's going to be a big-time concern.
TD, you going to hit the panic button if Burks is struggling at the start of training camp?
Yeah, I think it is time to panic. I think that's when it really gets to the dire straits type of situation. Because if he's not ready to start a training camp, then he's extremely starting behind the eight ball. And there is, to a degree, a bit of a slower start, right? Other players have somewhat of a head start, you know, because they've been able to hit rookie minicamp and minicamp, OTAs, all of that. But now you're falling even further behind. And I think, you know, once training camp starts, and this is the other thing, once camp starts, like, there's not as much time devoted to the overall development of a player. You know what I mean? Like, they have to, there's a lot of guys to coach, and he's the first round pick. Yeah, but you're not going to be able to get as much one-on-one time. So that's something that he has to just get right into. It's not once training camp starts. It's like once you're a week into camp, like you begin to shift a little bit. And we know it's going to be different for the Titans this year with the joint practices with the Cardinals as well as with the Bucks. So, yeah, if he's not ready to go from the start of training camp, it's definitely time to push the panic button. And, you know, I normally don't panic.
I have done a deep dive down Treylon Burks' Instagram now. Please don't judge me, guys. I have done the dive, and
I see what you're talking about.
The Arkansas picture,
this one with his yep. glasses on and
headphones. So this was last year when Arkansas started the year off on fire. I think this is after they beat Texas A&M, which was a statement victory for Sam Pittman at Arkansas. Yeah. And Burks was Burks was a bad dude on that team. I mean, so he's sitting in the locker room with his shades on and his headphones on. And his body looks the same as it does in the Instagram post that TD was talking about, or the Instagram story that I just pulled up that TD was talking about. I mean, if he played like that at Arkansas, I think it will always be up Vrabel's tailpipe to get him in shape, because then it will be like, oh my God, if he was this at Arkansas, if he gets in shape, then he might be the best wide receiver in the NFL. But maybe this is just how he plays. Maybe this is just how he is. Exactly. Maybe, you know, and this is where I'm like, but then he didn't make it through that rookie practice, and he's got asthma, and asthma's probably not good if you're, you know, a little overweight. I don't know, TD. Here's what I'm going to ask everybody to do. Oh, man. A scale of 1 to 10. Let's call this the official Isaiah Wilson worry meter. Of 1 to 10. With 10 being Isaiah Wilson, I really wish we could, like, do this, like, blind draw where we write something down and then, like, you know, on a dry erase board, and then we reveal it so that we don't hear what the other person says.
Well, I mean, Isaiah Wilson is a really dramatic comparison.
That's why he's a 10 on the Isaiah Wilson scale. What is the panic level for the three of us on the Isaiah Wilson panic scale for Treylon Burks? Who would like to go first?
I'll go first, and I'll say a 3.
Okay.
Right now, a 3, because, again, we've seen him play excellent football in very similar shape. So I'm not going to just yet say it's time to hit the panic button or even be near it.
I was going to say a 5, because for the same reason that I'm not higher than a 5 is exactly what TD said, is we've seen him play football in that shape. Now, I'm a little bit more concerned than TD, because he's been in that shape and he hasn't been able to be out in practice or finish practice, and he's looked like he's struggled. So for both reasons, that he's been able to play through being in probably not the best shape, but also since he's been in Nashville, he hasn't been able to do it. I'm at like a 5.
Okay, so I promise you I'm not Price is Righting you, but I'm a 6. Like, I was thinking 6 the whole time. And this and half of my reasoning for 6 is not Burks' fault. The other half is John Robinson's fault.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it just feels like every year, you know, even with Simmons was coming off the knee, so we just saw him running off the side with Jarrell Casey. So not that, I mean, you know, I'll say this. The first time I saw Simmons walking around, I was standing there with Floyd. I think we were at Nissan Stadium for one of those open practices or something. And Simmons came walking by.
I remember Floyd, he came walking out the tunnel. Yeah.
Floyd turned to me and was like, look at this big boy, you know, like, oh, like, you know, like he was just like salivating or whatever, but Simmons couldn't do anything. And so it's like every year we go through this. It feels like for one way or another with this. So I'm going to go 6.
That's probably not fair.
So let's get your thoughts for TD, your questions for TD for the end of the hour. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. I sent the picture that TD was talking about from the boat with Treylon Burks. I sent it to D-Mace, and I asked D-Mace, what did you think of Treylon Burks, his body, in this picture? D-Mace has responded. We'll get D-Mace's take on the other side. Again, TD's at a 3 on the worry meter. Caroline's at a 5. I'm at a 6. 615-737-1025. TD's with us. It's the TD Power Hour right here on Stillman & Company on 102.5 The Game.
You know, certainly AJ has moved on, and, you know, there's a business side of this that we've always talked about. I'm excited for Traylon to get back out there, to get back out training camp, to have an understanding of an offense. We're not going to ask anybody to replace anybody. It's, you know, he's going to go out and function and build his role where he can go out there and help us. And I know that he will. I'm positive. His attitude's been great. These next 5 weeks are going to be critical for him to get into training camp in shape, know what's going on, come in here with a great attitude. And I think things are starting to slow down for him, you know, mentally from an installation. So we're excited to work with him, and we're looking forward to getting him out of training camp.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about Traylon Burks. And the next couple of weeks are going to be critical. And, again, if you go to Traylon Burks' Instagram, let's give his Instagram a shout-out here on the TD Power Hour with TD, because, I mean, if we're going to talk about the man posting pictures and about his body type on the boat on Instagram, we might as well at least have something good come of this for him.
At Traylon underscore Burks 13.
There you go. Shout out. I need to follow this, by the way, apparently, because
yeah, good content happens here.
I'm not seeing enough over there. So, TD, I sent the picture of Traylon Burks on the boat with his buddy. His buddy is in great shape, but Burks is in the picture. I sent it to D-Mace. I said, what do you think of Traylon Burks' body? Here's what D-Mace said, and TD, I want your reaction to this. Quote, he looks like a regular guy that goes to the gym. He works out, but maybe not as hard as he should or can. You can tell he's working out, but is his trainer pushing him with a question mark? That's what D-Mace said. Your thoughts, TD?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much exactly what I thought when I saw the picture. Is like, okay, he's in shape. But it's just when you think of guys in the league, like you think of a whole different build. And that's why I mentioned, you know, the body type of Marshall Faulk, how you would look at him and never think that he was one of the best players in the league. And I think when you look at Burks, for me, just from like the receiver position, you expect more definition through the core. But I mean, who knows? It's just a matter of how he is able to function, you know, in that condition that he's in.
You know what I was thinking about is, going back to the pushing him thought that Derek said and the trainer, and you remember at that rookie mini camp when he didn't make it through the first day and Vrabel said, some guys think they can work with their trainers, but it's not the same as what we do here. Do you think there's maybe an element where a veteran guy could really help Traylon Burks?
I mean, a veteran guy, especially the ones that are around here, right?
Woods,
there's one right
Henry.
In the building with Robert Woods. But even further, you know, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, Nate Washington, just talking to him. That, I'm sure that stuff wouldn't hurt either. And I think, you know, when you're in a situation where he is, where you just have to, nothing could hurt you, right? No advice. All advice, you got to be open to all advice. I'll put it that way.
I do want to get your thoughts on this. Mark Dominic on SiriusXM NFL Radio, used to be general manager of the Buccaneers for a while, and has been, I guess he lives in town, but I think I always like listening to him, you know, when I think he's pretty insightful. They were going over which division winners will repeat this upcoming season. Mark Dominic was asked about that. This was Mark Dominic, former NFL general manager on SiriusXM NFL Radio.
This is not going to do well for me living in Nashville, so it's not going to be the most popular opinion. But I kind of look at this football team and say, I think that the Colts with Matt Ryan can win this division, and I think they'll unseat him. I think that the Titans will stay in the number two spot within the organization, but I don't think I think the Colts can take him out. And because of that, that's where I'm going with. I'm going with the Colts, and I'm going to say that they're going to unseed the Titans this year. I expect Derrick Henry to be healthy. I think this is going to be a really good football team still, but I think they're a 10-7 type of team this year, and that's where I think maybe the Colts can take that little bigger step. And that's kind of what I'm banking on, or I guess I'm counting on, that they will do that. And once they do that, that obviously is going to give them a much better chance to be, you know, the champions. And so that's what I expect from them, and we'll see how they play out or how it plays out. But I think they just can be a better team overall.
Betting markets say the Colts are the favorites right now in the South. TD, how do you see the two teams shaking out?
Yeah, I don't know that the Colts are the favorites. I still think the Titans, look, they lost A.J. Brown. They lost Jackrabbit Jenkins. I mean, understand that. I do. But I still think that their roster matches up with the Colts very well. I mean, you start a quarterback. I frankly am going to say it's a draw, honestly. Mm-hmm. If you want to give an advantage to Matt Ryan, I can understand it. Like, you can make an argument, but I don't think there's a huge advantage. I look at it as a draw. Offensive line, okay, I'll give it to the Colts. Running back, I think it's a draw, right? Receivers, it's a draw. Again, tight end, that's a tough one to figure out, right? But then you flip it to the defensive side of things. The front four, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Advantage Titans.
Colts have a good front four, though.
They have a good front four. But we're talking about Bud Dupree, Danico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, we're talking, yeah, the commercial was played correctly because the Colts, yeah, their front is good, but it's not the same as the Titans. Linebacker group is pretty close. Darius Leonard is really good. I'll probably go advantage Colts. Secondary, it matches up really well. Safeties, I mean, obviously Kevin Byard and Monty Hooker is a better group. So it's hard for me to just sit here and say, okay, Matt Ryan's in the mix, the Colts are better. I can't do that. I can't, and especially considering what the Titans were able to do without Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry is back in the mix, I still go with Titans here.
See, I think you left out when everybody talks about the difference between the Titans and the Colts, I think you left out something that I hear nobody talk about, which I think should be talked about. The coach. And
yeah.
I think there is, if you were to say, and I would, if I was picking between the two, I would pick the Colts simply because they don't play Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, and you do, talking about the Titans. But I don't think it's close when it comes down to the coach. And I think that Mike Vrabel doesn't get enough respect in that regard of, well, I like this about the Colts more than the Titans. And it's like, but do you like the coach more? Because Mike Vrabel is coach of the year and Frank Reich is on the hot seat, TD.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. And the schedule is the schedule. But, I mean, there's tough matches for the Colts as well in their schedule. So, you know, when it comes to the coaching, I feel that staff overall is a better staff. But I just feel, you know, top to bottom, you know, the organization-wise, I feel the Titans are a better team than the Colts, and I think that they'll still come out on top.
I will say this about the schedule, though. I do feel like it's almost paying back the credit card of the good luck that the Titans had last year, where the way that 17th game worked out, Indianapolis had to play the second-best team in the NFC South, which was Tampa, and the Titans mm-hmm. had to play the best team, which was New Orleans, and Drew Brees was gone, and this year, instead of Aaron Rodgers, they get Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, which Minnesota's not a bad team, but
right.
It's not Aaron Rodgers. Instead of Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, they get Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky in the Steelers. And Tomlin does always coach those boys up, so we got to give him credit there because Tomlin's never had a losing season. And
that's a primetime game, by the way, too.
And it's in Indianapolis, I think.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And then this is the tough one, is instead of Buffalo and Josh Allen, they get Mac Jones in New England. I feel like everybody is sleeping on the Patriots. The Browns have better odds on the sports books to win the AFC than the Patriots. Mac Jones is apparently in great shape this year. They got to the playoffs last year with Belichick as coaching them up. And, I mean, I certainly don't think Belichick's a bad coach, but it's still not Josh Allen and the Bills. But the thing is with Vrabel, the way Vrabel coaches, the Titans might win all three of those games and then go out there and lose to some bum because that's what the Titans do.
That's what happens with them. So I think the bottom line is this, especially with Mike Vrabel as the coach, you never should be too concerned about matchups. You really shouldn't, because he just has a way of getting this team riled up and ready to go when the odds are just completely against them. And it's something that I talked to Derrick Henry about 2 years ago, actually 2019. And he said, you know, the muddier it gets, the better they rise to the occasion. And that's really the case.
How do you quantify Vrabel's coaching ability from with this standpoint? A lot of guys have won Coach of the Year. And oftentimes the guy who wins coach of the year takes a 5-win team, gets them to 11 wins and wins a division. And that guy's coach of the year. Jason Garrett has been coach of the year. Kevin Stefanski has been coach of the year. I think Rex Ryan has been coach of the year. But I do think that Vrabel might be the best coach in the NFL. You know these coaches probably better than I do. How do you quantify Vrabel's coaching ability?
I think his coaching ability is elite. And it's not so much the X and O side of things as much as it's the efficiency. I can't tell you how many times, and we've had this conversation before, how many times I've seen the things that they do literally in practice show up verbatim on the field. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Mike Vrabel go from the offensive line to DBs to running backs to D-line to linebackers to receivers and dropping little nuggets to all of them. There were a few times, and I'm going to do it this year too because it's just fun. I followed him from group to group and really tried to listen in and you know, hear what he's telling those guys. And you can't always hear it, but you see those guys just absorb it. So I think that's the thing. But then also it goes even beyond that. And he has something. I saw John Harbaugh able to do this. He's the only other coach out of the four that, you know, I teams that I've covered. But the connection that they're able to make to players, it's superb. And I think that's something that Mike Vrabel does really well. And we saw that, especially when A.J. Brown came out about the, you know, potentially taking his own life, contemplating doing that. And the way Mike Vrabel spoke about that, just as far as like, hey, when we're in this building, when we ask how you doing, we ask it with the understanding that we want to know exactly how you're doing. We're going to listen, right? And I those type of emotional connections and deposits he's able to make. Now, it doesn't work for everybody because I know two or three guys that it just hasn't connected with. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, in that building, Mike Vrabel was able to make a connection with anybody. And that, above all else, because when you're a head coach, you're a manager, you're a people manager, he has done an excellent job of managing all the different personalities.
TD is with us here on the TD Power Hour. We got the big Baker Mayfield trade, and I want TD's thoughts on it, so we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 to get your Titans or NFL questions in for TD. Hey, join 1025-1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in the Nashville and surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids. But we can't do it without you. Please help however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group is a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton.
Mike, we saw Baker Mayfield heading in a different direction. What more can you tell us in regards to the situation?
Yes, Kayla, these talks between the sides have been happening for months now. This was something that around the draft a lot of folks thought might get done. But in the end, it is right around the 4th of July as we get set to get ready for training camp where Baker Mayfield will begin to learn a new playbook. The former number one overall pick traded to the Carolina Panthers. It is for a conditional fifth round pick. I am told that that fifth round pick can convert to a fourth round pick based on playing time this upcoming season. Now, right now, Sam Darnold is on the roster. At one point, offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo was saying, yeah, it looks like he's going to wind up being the starter. Well, now in comes Baker Mayfield, and at the very least, we are expecting a quarterback competition between Mayfield and Darnold, two guys that were drafted just two picks apart in the top three a couple of years ago, now going to be on the same team as they try to resurrect their careers and resurrect football in Carolina right now as the Panthers try to put some pieces together.
There you go. That was Mike Garofalo on NFL Network. Meanwhile, today, Rob Ninkovich on ESPN says he thinks that Sam Darnold's going to win the job. TD's with us for the TD Power Hour. TD, your reaction on the Baker Mayfield trade?
Yeah, I was surprised that it happened. I didn't know what the Browns were going to do, you know, with everything in limbo. but they managed to make it happen. And it really tells you, I wonder what Matt Corral, what type of showing he had there in OTAs and minicamp, because, I mean, you know, they used a pretty significant pick to get him, a third round pick. We'll see what happens there. But it's an indictment on Sam Darnold, who, by all accounts, had a pretty good spring and pre-summer season, so to speak. But at the end of the day, they're not convinced. I think Matt Rhule needs to make sure that they have a winning season, because he could be on the hot seat.
This is my theory on it, which is I believe that you've got three poorly guided decisions all at one time. One, you've got Carolina, who the owner there paid all that money for that franchise. He desperately wants to buy a good quarterback, and he can't do it. Like, he paid the money to Bridgewater. After a year, got mad, impatient with him, kicked him to the curb. Traded all those picks for Darnold. After a year, got mad, they're kicking him to the curb. Pays the pick for Mayfield and some money for Mayfield, and they think that all of a sudden Baker Mayfield, with 20 days until training camp, is going to come in and be able to digest a new playbook and be ready to rock and roll, and I just don't think that's how football works. I think the Browns made a bad decision on the Deshaun Watson front, and I think they know it was a bad decision. And I think that they didn't have the backbone or whatever it is to tell Baker, like, no, you're going to be our quarterback this year, because Deshaun's going to get suspended for the year, and when he does, you're the quarterback. Not Jacoby, you. And then there's Baker, and I'm like, TD, what would you rather do? Make $18.8 million, even for people you don't like, but you got to suck it up for a year, go out there in an offense you know with pretty decent players around you, put up a good season, then go hit the market and sign for $100 million-plus, or go to a new team, take 20 days to learn the playbook, try to get, you know, chemistry with your wide receivers in training camp, go out there and try to beat Tom Brady, and then try to get your $100 million. I think Baker should have sucked it up and been the starting quarterback for Cleveland. I think three bad decisions from three individuals here, the Browns, the Panthers, and Baker. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I said a few times when I did some shows for ESPN Radio. And I said it would probably be best for him to go back to the Browns because, as you said, he already knows the playbook. He knows the personnel. It's going to be a little bit awkward, but you're in the best situation to succeed right now, to set yourself up for that deal that you felt you deserved this past year, right? So I think that's the best situation. You also look at the Carolina situation, right?
They stink.
Robbie Anderson, he had his comments. Now, it offensively, personnel-wise, that offense is very good. I mean, you got DJ Moore, probably the most underrated receiver in football. You got a pretty solid receiver in Robbie Anderson, who they're going to have to figure out how to let bygones be bygones. You got Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. You got, you know, three pretty good options there. So I think that's something that he would be able to take advantage of.
McCaffrey out of the backfield for 7 games.
Yeah.
Maybe 6.
He's definitely struggled to be. But, hey, you know, those other 12 games, you know who you got, right? Deontay Foreman.
I keep thinking about – hey, I like Foreman. I think, too – because you talked about the awkwardness that it would be in Cleveland. And I feel like when they say there was a report that came out a couple weeks ago that teams were not interested in Baker because they thought he was immature. And I'm like, no, duh. Like, the mature thing to do for Baker would have been to suck it up and go back to Cleveland for a year. And you're right. It would have been awkward, but it couldn't have been more awkward than Aaron Rodgers last year showing up to Green Bay after the temper tantrum of his summer he threw, and he's showing up there. He says he hates the GM, and he's showing up there to work with the team. And I just think Baker sometimes cannot see the forest from the trees, and I think that's a situation here. And I'm not sure, TD, Aaron is different. I'm not sure you can play that position and excel in it if you don't have a certain level of letting things roll off your back that Baker struggles with.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the case. Baker Mayfield, and this is outside looking in, he seems to really nurture those feelings, right, and have them as a result of different things. But I will say this, in those situations, he's really risen to the top. I mean, you look at some mm-hmm. of the things he's done. You know, look at, what is it, Oklahoma? Was it Oklahoma, Ohio State, I think it was? You know, planting the flag. And just I think he is a guy that's very temperamental. It would be a little more difficult for him to couch the situation than it was for Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers just is, to me, is just a naturally more cool, as you mentioned, roll off the back type of guy.
Well, I keep going back to Tannehill. I mean, I feel like Tannehill was probably just as much disrespected by Miami as Baker probably was by Cleveland, and he took the pay cut, and he came here, and he was a backup, and he sucked it up, and they played the Dolphins last year, and he didn't say a single word. And if A.J. Brown didn't tell everybody at the end of the game that Tannehill said he wanted to put it on him, nobody would have known. And I think that is how you're supposed to play that position. Let's get your questions for TD. 615-737-1025. Your questions, comments for TD. 615-737-1025. We're to them next. Stillman and Company on 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport with us. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Ed is going to kick us off here on Derrick Henry. Ed, you're on with Teron Davenport.
Hey, thanks, Jared. Hey, Teron, listen, according to the odds, Derrick Henry has the best odds of being comeback player of the year. Would you take that bet? Hey, Jared, you can answer that for me also. I'm considering putting a lot of money down on that. What do you think? Comeback player of the year for Derrick Henry. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ed.
I would take that bet. Thanks, Ed, for the call. I would definitely take that bet because you look at how he seemed in minicamp. Like, he was very spry, getting the extra reps and conditioning. And anytime you have an elite player that feels like he has something to prove, you take that bet. So I would say yes.
My thing with comeback player of the year is I feel like it's so open-ended as what defines a comeback.
Yeah, was it injury? Was it you were bad last year, but you're good this
year?
It is kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, it is, but the fact that you have, like I said, an elite player that has something to prove, I'm going with that.
Okay, so who else would be a possibility, right?
Baker.
I mean,
Baker.
Yeah, you got Baker, you got
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I mean, there's the opportunities are endless for that, but I just think, you know, he's one of the best players.
You know who could be one? And I would, I mean, I don't know if I'd put money on it, but Matt Ryan could be.
That's another one.
A comeback player of the
year.
Who
won this past year, Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then Tannehill won not the year before that, but the year before that.
Okay.
Jerry is up next here on the TD Power Hour. Jerry, you're on with Teron Davenport.
Hey, how y'all doing this afternoon? TD, have one question is, do you think that Burks could play, get himself into a tight end position if he doesn't get in shape?
It's always possible, but if that happened, that would be a failure of that draft pick. And I feel strongly about that one. They don't want him to play tight end. They want him to play receiver. So I would say yes, but that would be a bad situation.
I mean, how much weight would he have to gain in order to have to be moved out to tight end?
Probably another 20 pounds or so. I mean, you figure he's 225 right now, another 15 pounds or so. But then with that 15, are you losing quickness? Are you losing agility?
I mean, that goes back to that report. Who was it that had the report? Was it
Couple Biscuits?
No, that was an anonymous coach.
It's not a report.
Who was it that had the report? Albert Breer.
Albert Breer, Yeah,
where he said that he played at 240 at Arkansas. I mean, here's the thing that's crazy about the Burks thing. You clear this up for me, TD. Treylon Burks may have played somewhere between 225 and 240 at Arkansas last year. So let's say, you know, 235 or 233 or whatever the midpoint is there. So he plays well above your average wide receiver there. And there's a lot of talk that at Arkansas, he didn't really run a lot of different routes. Now, you watch the tape, and I haven't, on Burks at Arkansas. I don't know how true that is. But if you can if you can be that good without doing those things, can you be that good in the NFL without those things?
Well, you have to factor in something else too. He was typically off the ball, moved around. He didn't see as much press coverage as he'll see in the league. So there are a lot of things to factor in to that. I still think, because there have been other guys who are in the same situation, you know, and have gotten to the league and they did fine. It's just going to be a gradual build-up process, in my opinion. I'll be very surprised if he hits the ground running. And even with A.J. Brown, like, I was surprised when he had 100 yards against the Browns in his first game. You know, I was surprised by that. And I had watched A.J. for 2 years before he got to the league. So, you know, there's just because he's not – and like Burks, A.J. was in the situation where he played mostly slot the year before he got to the league and wasn't facing press. And, frankly, he got to camp. He was, you know, good 230, 235. And, you know, he knew that, and it's a conversation we had. He knew he had to lose that weight to be quicker off the ball because you're facing press coverage. It's a different thing now. You're not getting the free release into your routes. You got to work at the line of scrimmage and eliminate that chatter right there. So I think that's something that Burks is going to have to factor in as well.
AJ's 235 and Burks is 235, though. Not the same. I mean, AJ.
It's very different. Very
that picture of him with DK Metcalf at the combine or whatever. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Looked like action heroes. What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in and says, you guys always talk about, quote, training camp darlings. Who do you predict will be this year's training camp darling?
Josh Malone.
Yeah, Josh Malone, Kyle Phillips, Brandon Lewis from Air Force, those guys. I think you know who's going to be a training camp darling because he's going to make 1 million tackles in the preseason? Chance Campbell. He's going to be a training camp dog. Watch. He's going to have a Robert Spillane type of preseason.
By the way, Robert Spillane has had himself quite a career. I mean,
yeah, man. That collision, you know, with Derrick Henry.
I mean, you talk about the darling of camp, he was, and I wasn't really covering like every practice every day like TD was, but in those preseason games, Robert Spillane made every tackle. And then kept him, and then they cut him, and then he was kind of practice squad. I mean, he's going on, his fourth, fifth year with the Steelers, and he is a legitimate starter on that team. I think Josh Malone, I think two guys, now Chig doesn't really count because, you know, people expect him to be at least okay.
Right.
But I think in camp, after a couple of weeks, people are going to be, oh, my God, Chig Okonkwo had another great day of practice. I think that's going to be a thing. I think Josh Malone, because he's so big, and I think he's going to get a lot of reps in training camp and preseason games and those preseason practices. And I think the Titans are going to give him a chance. I'll go with Malone. What's next?
Andrew from Dover texts in and says, who cares what Treylon Burks' body looks like? Look at the bust Jerome Bettis. As long as Burks can ball out, that's what we need. He doesn't have to be built like Metcalf or A.J. Brown was. Just have to see what he can do on the field.
What was the bust like with a shirt off? Like, did he look chunky with a shirt off?
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, to my point, like, I get what he's saying, but it's a talking point. It's something that we're going to talk about. And what did I say, though? I did say he balled this way at Arkansas, so I wouldn't be out of the ordinary for him to ball that in that same condition in the league. So I'm not sure why the caller or the texter I text with that text that statement.
So I Googled Jerome Bettis shirtless, and there's a Sports Illustrated cover that comes up, and the headline of the Sports Illustrated cover is, quote, fat. P-H-A-T, fat backs. They're big, they're bad, they're tearing up the NFL. And it's Jerome Bettis without a shirt on. And it reminds me of when I covered baseball. And I'd go inside a baseball clubhouse after like covering a hockey game or a basketball game. And it's a very different body type when you're covering baseball.
Whenever you walk past baseball players, you never turn and look and think, oh my gosh, that person is massive or that person's in great shape. You do when you pass a football player or a basketball player, but baseball players don't have any sort of
hockey qualities. Hockey and basketball, they're all skinny.
Basketball players are so tall. You look at someone, you're like, oh, you got to play basketball.
I mean, football, you got the big old fatties that, I mean, you know, whatever, that's their job. And then you got the guys that are in impeccable shape. And then you got the guys that are just real thin. You know, and I will say this, though, and I don't know why this just popped into my head. Everybody talks about the bus. TD, you probably remember this. You know who was like one of the biggest, baddest, meanest, big, I don't want to say big physical running back, the PHAT fatbacks? TD, do you remember Natron Means of the Chargers?
Yeah. I've brought Natron Means up multiple times during minicamp and rookie minicamp OTAs. Julius Chestnut, I jokingly have referred to him as Natron Means Jr.
I mean, Natron
Big
Means.
Man with sweet feet. But Natron Means, that footwork was extravagant.
Woo, Natron Means was a bad boy. My first football game I ever went to, the Oilers played at Vanderbilt against the Chargers, and Ryan Leaf was the quarterback, and they lost. The Oilers lost.
Interesting text coming in. Comeback player of the year, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yes. If I had a vote, that would be my vote.
There are some who think that Desmond Ridder will be starting by the end of the season, so we'll see.
Is TD thinking that Desmond Ridder will be starting by the end of the season?
I do not. I think Mariota is going to have a good shot at redemption there in Atlanta.
God, I hope you're right. And I know you like the guy as much as I like the guy. And it's one of those things where, like, when it comes to cheering, and obviously, like, I just kind of cheer no matter what, whatever I think, I just kind of say. But I do feel like as a reporter and somebody that's as unbiased as you, TD, I still even think, like, you probably root for Marcus the person because of the way he carried himself when he was here.
You pull for his success, absolutely. You pull for him, definitely.
TD, appreciate it as always. Who's on talking with TD this week?
You know what? We're on hiatus, man. We're regrouping here after the loss of Elijah Campbell. So we'll be back eventually, probably next week, but definitely the week after.
Oh, TD will be back for training camp. There is no doubt about that. TD, absolutely. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk soon.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yep. TD joining us on the program. Boy, I felt like an old man doing radio there where I was like, you remember Natron Means? You know, Chris Berman used to have all those nicknames for the players.
Uh-huh.
He used to call them Natron Means Business.
I do like that.
Natron Means was freaking. He was a bad boy. All right, coming up next, we got an update on the Philip Forsberg situation. And it's starting to get a little, let's get a little testy. We'll get to that coming up right here, Stoneman & Company, 102.5 The Game.